Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and sometimes we take 1 or 2 or 3 weeks off because we're just not interested, and just more interested in doing the Bible study the past few weeks, and a little bit of traveling, and but mostly just a lack of interest. And so, obviously, events of the past 10 days or so, do they require my commentary? Probably not, but they're going to get it. So let's start out with the war. There's a serious war on. It's being waged by the Biden administration. It's the war on climate change. And this past week, the Biden administration made a big move in the war. A massive offensive is building and will be launched against furnaces. New standards have been announced. Standards, I said. This is from the you must be joking file. This is from the get out of here file. That the United States government has the hubris to assume they have the right to say anything about furnaces and how you heat your home. And in fact, they do, because the Washington Examiner is reporting this story as if it's serious. The government is going to regulate the furnace in your house. Now, the new standards announced by the fearless Biden administration in the fall offensive against climate change, they say the standards will take effect in 2028. Really? 2028, that's 5 years from now. How serious are they about this offensive? This is a war, don't you know? Well, the Washington Examiner goes on. At the direction of Congress, I said, the Department of Energy is continuing to and slashing pollutants in homes. We want to slash pollutants in your house, says Energy Secretary Jennifer, what's her name? Jennifer Granholm. She's a communist. She's a straight-up communist. She wants to cut pollutants in your home, she says, and she's underscoring President Biden's commitment to save Americans money. She wants to save you money and develop healthier communities. She wants us healthier. She wants to save us money. She wants to lower costs for working families, of course. And she wants to slash pollutants in our home. When you hear all those things together, there's just one thing that comes to mind. You're a communist. Get away from me. She should be arrested. She should be arrested. Yeah, yeah. Let's see. By the way, the urinalists at Washington Examiner, they report the story this way. At the direction of Congress, DOE is continuing blah, 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 blah. Not the DOE, just DOE. Remember what I told you, folks. When people refer to government agencies by just their letter, with just their letters without the, when they leave the out, that means they are cult member worshipers. And so you have to be careful. So the Washington Examiner, you might think that they're a conservative news outlet. They have cult member worshipers willing to quote this communist maniac without putting the in front of DOE like every normal person would. Because otherwise it's just creepy. It's like the Borg.
It could be Asian.
No, they're not Asian. Oh, the Asian don't have they don't have the in certain Asian languages. But that's not what this is. Let's see. So what's coming in the autumn offensive? Well, besides healthier communities, lower costs for working families, less pollutants, saving us money. Manufacturers will only be allowed to sell furnaces that convert at least 95% of fuel into heat within 6 years. I can't help but read that and say, Do you mean you're going to give the furnace 6 years to convert 95% of its fuel into heat? Or... And does the 6 years start in 2028, or does it start now and we're getting 6 years and in 2028 we all have to cross the Rubicon together? What? And you know what? It doesn't matter. They don't even care. They don't even care if you understand. They don't even care if it actually goes into effect on the day that they care, that they say that they his. All they want you to do is comply and just admit that they have the authority to regulate furnaces. So since when do free human beings need the government to help them heat their home? Since when? Well, I know, like since Soviet Russia, right? Anyway, I'm telling you, ever since Nimrod gathered the people into the cities, right, and began building them a tower, that's when people started relying on the... They were like, Nimrod, it's getting cold in here. He's like, don't worry, I got you taken care of. Just give me 30%, no, 50, no, 65% of your income. I'll take care of the heat. Don't worry. We'll keep the tower nice and warm. all right. This is endemic of Western civilization. That it's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we've marched down this acceptance of the tyrannical nanny state. And it's been that way ever since Nimrod, with just a few respites in between. Once in a while, there's a blip of hope, America having been one, that now is apparently, I don't know, groveling at the altar of three-lettered bureaucracies. And that's from the, you gotta be kidding me, file. But it's not really ha-ha funny. Okay, so now let's go into the government schools. Reason number 2037 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. This is from PJ Media, another alleged alternative conservative news source. They report that Florida parents are upset. In fact, they're blowing steam out of their ears, says the urinalist at PJ Media. Why? Well, the charter schools where they have their kids, which is a public school, but it's better. A charter school is a public school, but they have a charter that says they're going to teach the kids, which makes them better than a public school that doesn't have a charter, and who knows what's going on over there. My kids go to a good school. It's a charter school. Actually, my kids don't go to a public school. If you haven't been listening to the show, I just want to make that clear. I was being sarcastic. So, the charter school in Florida, a teacher there, an alleged math teacher, showed a fourth grade class a horror movie.
What?
A horror movie. I'm not going to name the movie because I don't want to give them any... But let's just say it involves a children's character that we all knew when we were little kids. Like when we were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And in the movie, the beloved child character goes on a bloody murder spree. And so parents found out that a fourth grade math teacher, math, I said, that means mathematics. So, yeah, not a, it wasn't a drama instructor, it was a math teacher, showed a movie in the class. First of all, you're showing kids movies in class, okay, I'm going to beat you senseless. You're showing my kid a movie? All right, come here, you. Anyway, but that's not, now parents are upset because of the content of the movie. Not the fact that the teacher is showing your kid a movie, which that right there is offensive. Anyway, we have a quote from one of the mothers who's blowing steam out of her ears. One of the mothers who carts her kid down to the public school factory every morning, religiously, drops the kid off. She's now blowing steam out of her ears, and this is a mother of twins in the class. Michelle says, quote, look, I love horror movies. And like Halloween is absolutely like my favorite holiday of the year. But like these kids were scared for their lives. They were seeing this character go on a murderous rampage. I mean, like the movie is unrated and it has naked people in it and lots of gore and body parts and blood, not to mention lots of bad words. Unquote. That's Mom Michelle, who Halloween is absolutely her favorite holiday of the year, and she loves horror movies. and so the math teacher, he doesn't understand why is there a problem. He was shocked that mom was upset. And mom was probably only upset because someone else got upset and she realized that she'd probably bother her. Otherwise, she would have just sat there and watched. Look, normally we watch these movies at home with the kids. Not at school. Okay, so from there we go to, I didn't know whether to make this reason number 2038 or if this is the queering of America. I don't know which way to go. This is Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, I didn't get the name of the website, unfortunately, so I can't properly shame the urinalists involved. But I only go to right-wing alternative news sites, so, I mean, it's got to be some right-wing alternative news site. They report, Wisconsin judge, schools secretly transing kids are violating parents' rights. And the report is, parents have won a landmark legal battle. We've won! Against a public school district in Wisconsin, Judge Michael, he ruled that school authorities may not allow or require staff to refer to students using a name or pronoun at odds with the student's biological sex without express parental consent. We won, says all the urinalists and the political activists. We won. The judge says you got to get parents' permission. So here's the thing. The devil will take that. Hey, the devil's happy. He just saw a judge, an official of the state, acknowledge the lowest and grossest form of sexual perversion. The judge just gave it legitimacy in the law by saying that, well, you have to get the parents' consent if you want to participate in this delusional, gross, perverted behavior. And just as a bonus, he gave the devil again the term biological sex, which has an extra word, biological. We don't need that. But the devil will take that. And the devil's even happier today because all the idiot journalists and the political activists think they've won. And the devil just moves them one click closer to hell. While they're, all right. From there, let's go to reason number 2035 in no particular order to get or keep your children out of the government schools. A Houston school district is now giving out free Narcan to parents and students. And apparently anyone who gets within 100 feet of the school, they got someone just standing there ready to hand you some Narcan saying, can you please help us with this? Apparently the teachers and administrators at the school feel overwhelmed with the number of people dropping over with opioid-induced overdoses. And so they just want to make sure they have some Narcan and that everyone around them has Narcan so that, you know, so we can just keep up. That's right. Actually, this was a giveaway. This was a giveaway. I was embellishing a little bit just to point out the ridiculous nature of the stupidity of the story. But this story almost needs no embellishment. This week, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on both days, the Cleveland Independent School District, Houston, Texas, will be handing out free Narcan. Why are they doing that in the evening? Maybe that's when most overdoses happen. Is it 6 to 8 p.m. when most of the people are keeling over in the streets of Houston and that's when you can do the most good? I'm not really sure. It just says October 18th through the 23rd, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wait a minute. Are they planning to be administering the Narcan at that time? Is there a festival? Is there one of those music festivals in town that weekend? Let's check our calendar there in Houston. We can see what's going on. Maybe they're just getting ahead of the expected festivities. in Houston, by the way, there's an average of, just within this school district, there's an average of more than one ambulance call per week due to opioid overdose. Someone keeling over from an opioid overdose just within the Cleveland Independent School District in this one section of Houston. Uh-huh. According to Fox 26 in Houston, parents are terrified and the school system is making an attempt to combat the situation. And so what they're going to do to combat the situation, they're going to hand out a get out of jail free card so that they can now facilitate an uptick in opioid overdoses and ambulance calls. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. We have recovered from the festival in Houston. It's been given a blast up the nostril. We're conscious again. And that brings us, as a matter of fact, to reason number 2036, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. I know it seems like we're whipping a dead horse, but it's not a dead horse, because there are hapless parents out there who continue to send their kids to the government schools despite at least 2,036 reasons that have been documented right here. Well, not just right here, but over the past 25 years, we've documented, between Bob Enyard and I, we've documented now 2,000. So, would you get with it, for crying out loud? I could stop with this. Anyway, the American Library Association, which is the federal, private, communist group that claims that they're in charge of libraries, even though they're not in any way. Well, they have helped develop legislation to combat the removal of books from school libraries. And all the libertarians are like, yay, we want books in the library. Doesn't everybody want books in the library? I would not want anyone to be banning books from the library, for crying out. Not removing. Who wants books removed from the library? I don't want books removed from the library. So you read the first paragraph, and you think, wow, we're winning. The American Library Association wants to keep books in the library where they belong. In fact, they've launched their Right to Read Act. It's been reintroduced by a couple of Democrat senators up there in the federal legislature. And it ensures that students can access culturally diverse and inclusive materials. And then when they read the title and you heard all those extra S's, you were like, wait a second. I mean, I'm all for books and libraries, but what's with all the extra S's in the announcement? And then you get a little bit suspicious, and it turns out they want to put dirty books in the library, and they want to keep them there. So some people want the dirty books out. Some people say the dirty books should stay in, and the American Library Association, stands four square behind the idea of keeping the dirty books in and keeping them accessible, especially to children. Yes, yes. According to rantingly.com, the federal bill is explicitly intended to rebuff efforts by parents and Republican lawmakers to remove dirty books from school libraries. All right. Uh-huh. What's that?
Republican good.
Oh, yeah, Republicans are good, of course. The birds. Now, it's the same parents and these same Republican lawmakers, by the way, who support the legality of adultery, fornication, and pornography. But boy, they draw the line at the library. At which point you say, well, how can you do that? How can you draw the line at the library if you say it's legal? I mean, shouldn't we be able to have books about stuff that's legal in the library? Well, we should. Which, that should clue you into the fact that some things should be illegal. Like adultery, fornication, and pornography. And until those are illegal, you can't draw the line. Because you've already given away the battle. You've given away the war. You can't declare a battle after you've already lost the war, you morons. By the way, the American Library Association president is Emily Drabinski. She is a self-proclaimed Marxist. A self-proclaimed Marxist is the head of the American Library Association, which, by the way, all you parents and Republican lawmakers, that's what you end up with when you legalize criminal activity like adultery, fornication, and pornography. If you legalize crime, eventually the criminals rule. And so you've got a proclaimed Marxist who, by the way, Marxists, self-proclaimed publicly proclaimed Marxist should be arrested. This is America. You can't advocate stealing people's property and murdering people. That's what Marxism is. So instead of Emily Drabinski being arrested and put on trial for advocating criminal activity, she's the head of the American Library Association. And the people who advocate the legality of adultery, fornication, and pornography, they wonder what's going on. They look around and they're like, how could the country be falling apart so fast? Why is everything going to hell in a handbasket? My goodness, Margaret, what's going on with these people? Okay. Speaking of all that, that takes us to West Point, where unfortunately we have a story from the Queering of America file, which you never want to hear that. You never want to hear America's premier military academy is in the Queering of America file because it's just not a good place to be. The West Point has announced a new minor. And I guess if you go to college, which I never did, you have majors and minors. You take your major class. That's what you plan on, like, making a living at. You take a minor class, which is what you just squander your parents' money and waste some time on. And then you end up getting a job in the real world, which has virtually nothing to do with anything you studied in college. I mean, unless you're a computer programmer, software engineer, I suppose those people still get hired in their field. But West Point has a new minor, the Diversity and Inclusion Studies minor. The Diversity and Inclusion Studies minor. Diversity and Inclusion Studies is an interdisciplinary minor administered by the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Leadership that consists of humanities and social science courses. Meaning,
that's military?
This is a West Point Military Academy where warriors are made. Huh. Mm-hmm. Not that there's the threat of any actual war in the world. I mean, thankfully, we don't have any of that to worry about. We can focus on diversity and inclusion. So what does it mean that it consists of humanities, social science courses? That means you can be a stupid moron, a complete idiot, and get credit toward graduation. That's what humanities and social science courses are. They're for stupid people to get college credit, and even at West Point. Let's continue with the description from the handbook. America is a multicultural polity and demands knowledgeable and pragmatic thinkers who understand the range of human experiences. We like that word, experiences, because it's got like three S's in a row. The Diversity and Inclusion Studies minor exposes cadets, we like that, to varied prospective and methodologies. Oh, I'm sorry. I can barely read because I went to college. The Diversity and Inclusion Studies minor exposes cadets to varied perspectives and methodologies for understanding and studying the humanities. Let's just pause right there. What does that mean? What I just read, you know why I could barely read it? Because it's a meaningless pile of words, right? So, yeah, it's very similar to the requirements to pass this course. If you can just spew out and then regurgitate a meaningless pile of words, as long as you don't offend anyone, and as long as you bow the knee to all the proper politically correct icons, then you'll pass. So, all right, so how do they achieve whatever it was they just talked about? By carefully drawing from existing courses in multiple departments. All right, so that's disturbing right there. West Point has multiple courses in existing departments that relate to all this. Who would have known that? All right. We draw on existing courses from multiple departments and complements and enhances the core curriculum, academic majors, and several West Point centers and committees. This minor helps fulfill the superintendent's and the dean's vision for diversity and inclusion at West Point. Yay! Uh-huh. Now, I remember when most able-bodied, intelligent young men couldn't get into West Point. That's the way it used to be, and we liked it that way. That's how we liked it. Most able-bodied, intelligent, hardworking, ambitious young men still weren't good enough to get into West Point, and that's the way we liked it. But now, the goal is to fulfill the superintendent's vision, his vision for diversity and inclusion. Moreover, the DISM at West Point offers cadets a framework for critically and creatively thinking about the broader impact of diversity and inclusion at the individual, organizational, societal, and global levels. I'm afraid I'm going to start crying. This is getting too much pressure. Someone else has to step in and finish reading it because... All right. The minor also provides our cadets opportunities to pursue diversity and... I'm sorry. It provides our... Listen to this now. It provides our cadets opportunities to pursue diversity and inclusion in intra, multi, and interdisciplinary ways. Does anyone understand what that means? That's meaningless. That means pursuing diversity in primarily gay communities. That's anyway, all of that entire pile of words with all the extra S's included, it has nothing to do with defending America against her enemies. In fact, it has everything to do with encouraging America's enemies to make a move on her as soon as possible, because we are weak and spent and stoned and queer and decadent and vulgar and profane and vile. At the highest levels of our military academy, we are weak and vulnerable. That's what this screams to the world. But fortunately, there's no one out there in the world who hears the scream and the cry and the lisping and the blubbering and the the raving and all of that. We are so fortunate that we live in a peaceful world, a peaceful, stable world where no one wants to violate anyone else's rights or territory or property or certainly not their physical body. There's nobody out there like that. Aren't we fortunate? Okay, so now let's go to the politics file. We have to go to North Korea. Now I know this story's from a few weeks ago, but it's been completely missed because of all of the marquee events that are occurring. Marquee events. That's right. I have friends asking me if the events in Israel over the past 10 days, do you think they have anything to do with the end times and the end of the world? It's like, well, so it's Arabs killing Jews. That has more to do with the beginning than the end. I mean, that's been going on since the beginning of the nations. So the end of the world, I don't know about that. But let's go, this story was pushed aside, obviously, but up in North Korea, private second class, they have private second class in the U.S. Army? Apparently they do. Well, leave it to the Army. Not only are you a private, not a private first class, you're private second class. What did this guy do? Anyway, you may remember private second class, Travis King entered North Korea. He escaped a guided tour in Panmunjom and jumped over the border into North Korea, and he defected into North Korea, an army soldier. You remember? Nobody remembers. Anyway, North Korea kicked him out. They kicked him out. The soldier, so he had been serving time at a South Korea detention facility for assaulting people, kicking a police car. And so before he could be sent back to the States to go on trial, he leaps over the fence into North Korea. And within a few days, the North Koreans, they couldn't stand the guy. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't stand his racist BLM chip on his black soldier's shoulder. They realize he's a punk. He's in constant need for affirmation. And his attitude of absolute entitlement made them want to vomit. And so the North Koreans threw him out of the country. Now we've got to take him back. Anyway, I think that the North Koreans expelling this, you know what it is? They probably realize you could do more for them here than there. You get this guy back to America. This is exactly what we need in America. And I think the expulsion of Private Second Class Travis King should be considered an act of political aggression. And we should deport this guy. And by the way, if Prince Harry comes back to L.A., we should deport this guy and Prince Harry to North Korea in response to the deportation of Travis King. And I'm back. That's right. What does it have to do with Prince Harry? I don't like him. That's all. And I think he should be deported to North Korea for as soon as possible. In fact, there's no need for further cause. Just what he's done already is enough. All right. So now we go to, let's see, San Francisco. We go to San Francisco to the Goose and the Gander file, where San Francisco Mayor London Breed has proposed a plan which would require governing officials to undergo drug testing. That's right. Oh, wait a second. I misread that. No, the San Francisco. Oh, London Breed is a governing official in San Francisco. And so she's calling for welfare recipients. Mandatory drug testing for welfare recipients is what London Breed is calling for. And why is she doing that? Well, because she's trying to distract from the fact that she and everyone in the government in San Francisco is so obviously on drugs. She needs to call for drug testing someone, and she certainly doesn't want the attention to be focused on her. And so she stands up and says, well, look, if you want to receive welfare here in San Francisco, you're going to need to submit to a mandatory drug test. And everyone in San Francisco is like, well, wait a second. We're paying you, too. We're not just paying the bums. We're paying you. So could you maybe take your drug test first? And then you couldn't find her. Everybody's like, London, where are you? She's gone. There are an average of 3 overdose deaths a day in San Francisco under the governance of London Breed and other drug addicts and perverts who are running. Now, here's what London has to say about her. By the way, this is a conservative position. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it that way. This is a Republican position, is that welfare recipients should have mandatory drug tests. At which point someone should drug test that Republican because he's obviously lost his mind. What Republicans should say if they're conservative is that there shouldn't be welfare. There you go. Then you don't need drug tests. We shouldn't be giving one group of people's money to another group of people who didn't earn that money. We just shouldn't do that. And then that eliminates a myriad of other topics and arguments and discussions and but anyway, they don't know. So London Breed obviously must have an election coming up. She says, San Francisco is a city that demands accountability. Wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. She issued a statement because not even she could have said that with a straight face, right? Nobody could utter that line. Who's the most deadpan guy? Stephen, who's the comedian, the deadpan comedian, Stephen Wright? Not even Stephen Wright could say that with a straight face. San Francisco, she says, a city that demands accountability, Breed said in a statement, right? She says, we want to help people. Uh-huh. We want to compel people into treatment. Okay. Now, that just scares me because I'm one of the people. So the people she wants to compel into treatment, those are not the drug addicts in the street. She likes those. They vote for her. She wants to, like, anybody who would stand up against the trannies and the perverts and the baby killers, she wants to compel us into treatment. Anyway, she says she wants to create more accountability, help people get people to accept the treatment they need, she said, to all you Christians out there. We're just going to help you get. So anyway, fortunately, there aren't many Christians on welfare in San Francisco. And so she won't be able to help us get compelled into treatment, help us get the treatment we need. Although she'll be making other efforts on other fronts in order to do that. what I'm about to say, it's not like conservative or anything, but just what's good for the goose is good for the gander. No government official should be able to legislate drug tests without having taken one themselves. I think that's just fair. By the way, she should also be tested for rabies, this one. And she's in San Francisco, scabies. She needs some tests herself. All right. Now, from San Francisco, we go to Israel, where, as I had mentioned earlier, fortunately, there are no people on earth who want to violate your rights and your property and your physical well-being. And I was being facetious and sarcastic, and because look at what's happened just in the past 10 days. Now, Human Events is reporting from Gaza. Planned Parenthood's only facility in Gaza was destroyed during an Israeli airstrike this past week. Okay, so let me just stop before I get into the story. Just the urinalism. The urinalism here makes me... Does anyone notice this? Their facility was destroyed during an Israeli airstrike. As if anything other than the Israeli airstrike could have been responsible for the destruction of the building. Okay, buildings don't just explode and crumble during an airstrike. The building was destroyed by the IDF in an airstrike. But urinalists never assign responsibility to anyone for anything. They've been trained to do that. And I'm telling you, the more this goes on in the media, the easier it is for people to slip into delusional fantasy land. Because nobody's responsible for anything. And basically, every urinalist, when they write this way, they imply that we can't really be sure of anything. And the more you imply that, the more people's minds become unsure of everything. So stop it. Cut it out. All the urinalism schools should be bulldozed. I mean, they should be evacuated first, like Gaza. You know, it should be evacuated first, but it's got to be bulldozed, unfortunately. And we'll get to, in fact, let me address that. Let me address the bigger political issue. We'll get back to the abortion clinic that the IDF blew up in their airstrike. Is that putting too fine a point? I don't want to offend anyone. But the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in Gaza was blown up by the Israeli Defense Force. It looks like they hit it with a missile from an airplane, just in case you were. So listen, folks, Gaza City is the world's largest prison camp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was established by the family members of the people who are imprisoned there. And I know it's a bizarre story. It's hard to believe that could happen. But the so-called Palestinians in Gaza City, their cousins in Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, etc., 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 they established this prison camp for their cousins and then put their cousins in there, kept their cousins in there. And that now this prison camp, Gaza City, is maintained by all the above and the Western democracies, America first, and then Israel and England and France and Germany. That there's a giant prison camp that's been established and maintained by the whole world for, I mean, the better part of 80 years, and really acutely for about the last 20 years. By the way, the so-called Palestinian population in Gaza since 2007 has doubled. The population in Israel has not doubled. The population in America, England, France, Germany has not doubled. But it has in Gaza and almost everywhere else in the Arab world, just, you know, not to put too fine a point on where we are. But this prison camp that exists, Gaza, is basically an improvised explosive device. And it's an explosive pressure cooker purposely designed to build an explosive force in precise harmony with the level of cowardice and apathy among all of the responsible parties that I listed above who have established and maintained this prison camp for the better part of 80 years and acutely for the last 20 years. And that pressure cooker is about to blow. So if you think what you've seen is it blow, that's not it. I mean, the attacks of the past 10 days, all the activity, that's just the lighting of the fuse. If Israel responds with a ground invasion, well, I had a colleague ask me, why would the Palestinians do this? Why would Hamas do this? They know that what the response is going to be. There's going to be just utter devastation and death. And I said, yeah, that's why. That's what they want. That's what they want. They want. Well, here's the thing. If Israel responds with a ground invasion, it worries me that they're responding exactly as their enemy wants them to respond. And when you are responding exactly as your enemy wants you to respond, just be careful, because that might mean the enemy has the advantage, because he's basically getting you to act. And when the enemy gets you to act, it could be that he wants you to act that way because he's got a plan. And it seems to me, more so than in the recent past, that the devious and evil forces, hell-bent on the destruction of Israel and all of Western civilization and Christianity, by the way, and all the Christians, not just Christianity, and they don't want to destroy Israel and Christianity. They want to destroy the Jews and the Christians, personally. And they seem to have a plan more so than at any time in the recent past that I'm aware of. And the attacks that they launched, horrible, and were of no military significance at all. They were strictly designed to provoke an enraged response, which they're doing. And why do they want an enraged response? Either so that they can start showing pictures of dead Palestinian women and children with their arms blown off like they always do, so that they can just remind everybody why we hate the Jews so much, because the Jews were ostensibly making at least accommodations with some of their Arab neighbors. There was a rumor they might make an accommodation with the Saudis. And so all Hamas wants is pictures of bloody children so that they can say, look, remember, we hate the Jews. And everybody will be like, yeah, that's right, we hate the Jews. So at the very least, that's it. That's what I suspected at the very beginning. They just want to draw Israel in, blow up. It's like Golda Meir said, Golda Meir, former premier of Israel, who fought against Arab uprisings and for her entire career. She said of the Palestinians, she said, we can forgive you for killing our children, but we can never forgive you for making us kill your children. Which is, that's what they want. They want to make the Israelis kill their children so they can show the pictures, so they can just keep up the rage. So that's it at the least. At the worst, it's Hamas luring the Israeli ground forces into a trap. That's the worst, that they could be sucking them into a trap. Israel is weak, stoned, and spent. So instead of gathering on the border of Gaza and mounting an invasion, they should stop and they should cry out to God like they used to do in the Bible, and they should beg him to show them what to do. But Israel is as they have always been. And by the way, just like the Western democracies that have propped her up and have all of them together have built the prison camp in Gaza, and they're all godless, stoned, and spent. It's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and there you go. This commentary on the end of the world or whatever's going on. I think it's the end of the world, but all right. So in all of this, the IDF has blown up the Planned Parenthood in Gaza, and by the way, only an atrocity of the current proportions could make Israel close an abortion clinic. This is the only way to get Israel to close an abortion clinic. And so we've got the executive director, Amal Adwala, who began immediately fundraising off the destruction of the Planned Parenthood clinic, because that's what they do. She says, "I can't stress enough how dire the situation is and how desperately we need humanitarian aid," said the baby killer there in Gaza. And funds start. You got to GoFundMe with a QR code so that the money can come in. The first thing that'll be rebuilt in Gaza will be the abortion clinic, of course. Human Events, by the way, reports that abortion is only legal in Palestinian territories when the mother's physical health is endangered or if both parents consent. So basically that means abortion is legal in Gaza. Illegal abortions carry prison terms from 6 months to 3 years, depending on the circumstances of... And then, of course, killing Jews, that gets a financial reward. If you kill a Jewish child, a mother, a father, you don't even have to do an abortion if it's a Jew. And so now we move into the war file. I know you've probably been expecting coverage of this story, so I want to cover it from this angle. Well, that angle first, obviously, but this one now. There was a Nova Music Festival going on, and there was a massacre at the music festival. Music festival, by the way, is a euphemism. It's a euphemism because it's not a music festival. It's an unrestrained event of rampant hedonism. It's when drug dealers and pedophiles organize an event, typically in the desert, I've noticed, by the way. They always organize these events out in the far reaches of civilization, as if to dare God and brag and boast about their ability to master the worldly environment. It's like Burning Man. They put it out in the middle of the desert where normal people would never go and you'd be afraid to die. And they get a bunch of people out there and they get them high on drugs. And they, it's like the ultimate pagan, a pagan cult event. I don't know what to call it, but it's not a music festival, because if you've ever heard the music involved, it doesn't have anything to do with music. It's like a cultic deviant. You have to be on some serious drugs to even tolerate that kind of garbage. All right. So this festival was going on, basically the Burning Man of the Negev Desert. and it was held very close to the border fence with Gaza in the Negev Desert. Doubly Daring God. The Supernova Festival, It was taking place out there, and the attack began at 6:30 a.m. on Saturday morning at the Supernova event, with all the kids on drugs, having been up all night, just starting to either trip out or come down or wherever they were, and they started getting machine gunned. The Israeli army took 5 hours to begin to arrive on the scene because the kids held the event way out far from everything like they tend to do. It's like, we dare you. And then when they called their bluff, well, they were being slaughtered for 5 hours. One attendee said it was hell on earth. It was hell on earth. It was hell on earth before the machine gun started. A drug-infested music festival, alleged music festival. I have to think of another name for this. What is it? What is a music festival a euphemism for? A pagan ritual. That's hell. That's an expression of Satan on earth, is getting a bunch of kids together, getting them high on drugs out in the middle of the desert. That's a bunch of drug dealers and pedophiles who organize these things, destroying Western civilization by tempting children with this type of activity. That should not be allowed. It should be illegal. Anyway, they say it was hell on earth. The kids at the festival were told that the army was guarding them, and that turned out not to be true. Why? Because the festival was organized by drug dealers and pedophiles. They don't have your best interests at heart. And of course, you don't realize that acutely until someone shows up with a machine gun, but it was already true for all of you kids going out to the... And why did the army take 5 hours to get there? Because Israel is stoned, spent, and weak, like the rest of Western civilization. And so we stand at a moment of acute danger, which anyone with a brain back when the current puppet was installed as the head of the free world, that was a red flag. You can't put a brain dead puppet as head of the free world and expect the world to remain free. All right. Speaking of that, we go to the treason file, where one of the guys, the brain dead puppet, was told to hire by Barack Obama. Joe Biden was told by Barack Obama to hire Rob Malley as the special envoy to Iran. And Rob Malley was placed on leave earlier this year for being a traitor. They say he, well, mishandling classified material. Uh-huh. You know what mishandling classified material usually gets you? Immediately arrested. Immediately. But he was placed on leave because, well, let's just dig in the story. Rob Malley was special envoy to Iran's Islamic Republic. And we now know that the Islamic Republic signed off on, planned, helped execute everything else with the atrocities committed against the Israelis over the past 10 days. About 2,000 Jews have been killed. Who knows how many, and who knows how many Arabs are about to die? Who knows how many innocent women and children are about to die so that Hamas can take their picture and put it up on Facebook and remind everyone why we hate those Jews so much? Who knows how many are about to die? And Rob Malley, a hire of Barack Obama in the Joe Biden administration, is accused of purposely funneling billions of dollars to Iran through a lack of sanctions enforcement and provisions of sanction relief that have given, you know, everyone's upset about the $6 billion that Obama just gave them out in the broad daylight. Everyone's freaking out about that. This guy has funneled, this Rob Malley has helped funnel between $50 and $80 billion into Iran over the past 2.5 years. They caught him doing it, and it was so egregious that they put him on leave. So the insurrectionists, the demented cult that has seized power in Washington, D.C., since installing Joe Biden for Barack Obama. Even they had to do something. This guy's, he was so blatant. And now you remember the $1.7 billion that Obama gave the Iranians back in 2016, how everyone was mad about that. Now, and now they give him $6 billion, and it turns out this guy's giving him like $80 billion. And all of a sudden, Iran funds a rather sophisticated, well-planned attack with, I think, bigger designs. Well, I don't think. I mean, it's obvious they have bigger designs. It's just how bad are they? Anyway, the reporter at the New York Post reports there's a straight line from Obama to Biden to Iran's war on Israel, and it goes right through Rob Malley. So, and others, by the way, who'll never pay the consequences on this side of eternity. Rob Malley, Barack Obama, all these people. In fact, all the governing officials in the Arab states, in Israel, in the United States, who've built the prison camp in Gaza and allowed all this to happen, they'll never pay the price this side of eternity. But here's the thing, they will pay for the rest of eternity. And so what they got away with here is going to seem like small potatoes with what they have to pay. And here's why people go to hell, okay? People ask, why would a loving God have a hell? Here's why. Because the people in Gaza who want to escape the impending catastrophe are being prevented. None of the surrounding Muslim countries around Gaza are interested in helping Gaza's citizens escape. The leaders... And so why? Why wouldn't the Egyptians let him in? Because the Egyptians don't want a bunch of terrorists brainwashed since they were children to blow things up and kill people in their country. Now, the Egyptians have participated and helped and fueled all of that. But they don't want it in their own country. And none of the Arab countries are going to let any of the women and children escape. And yes, we know that Gaza is a hotbed for terrorists, and all the children there are being brainwashed. The women are brainwashed. I'm sure there are some innocent, decent people, probably some decent Christian people in Gaza. But unfortunately, what's been allowed to happen, especially over the last 20 years, it's basically foreordained the killing and the destruction of everything in Gaza. So families have been attempting to flee the war zone. And the Muslims are, some people are asking, why won't you let them come in? Jordan, Syria, Egypt especially, because Egypt, you could facilitate the escape in 48 hours if you wanted to, but they won't. And people ask why. So I've got this report from the Dossier report, dossier.today. Publicly, they have not said a word about lending a helping hand. Instead, they redirect attention on Israel, declaring the Jewish state an enforcer of an open-air prison situation. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's an open-air prison. There's no doubt about that. See, that's the thing. When you give your adversary a legitimate talking point, you set yourself up for defeat. Anyway, so the dossier.today goes on. What they don't tell you is Egypt controls one of the border crossings to Gaza at Cairo and could easily facilitate the departures. Okay, so here we have this prison facilitated by every industrialized nation on earth for all of our lives. And so all of us bear guilt. All of us bear guilt, but their cousins more so. They bear more guilt. They will bear the most guilt for the annihilation of Gaza that one day will be required. At some point, Gaza and everything in it will have to be annihilated. And that's exactly what they seem to want. The people who enforce the prison camp, that seems to be what they want. It's almost as if they're in league with principalities and powers that are evil. and nefarious and malevolent in heavenly places. It's almost like that diabolical. That's how bad it is. All right, so is there anything else to be said? I don't know that there's much. I could talk about America's justice system. Should I close with the Trump standard? I'm going to close. Well, I don't know if I'll close with this, but we've got an article here from The Federalist. Again, a alternative right wing. They comment on an article from the American Medical Establishment. An article by doctors who they say agitate for unrestricted abortion on demand. And this is Beverly Gray, MD, and Jonas Schwartz, MD, have written an article that agitates for unrestricted abortion on demand. They're in opposition to any restrictions on abortion at any point in pregnancy. They appeal to extreme pro-abortion positions staked out by the American Medical Association, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists. These groups have been commandeered, says the Federalist. The AMA and the ACOG have been commandeered by radical pro-abortion. Yeah, really, kind of like the pro-life organizations have been commandeered by child killers of a different stripe. They have some restrictions at some point, at least, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. You know. So who cares that the communists and the secular baby killing professional organization, who cares that they've been commandeered? We would imagine they would be commandeered. They don't know God. But the pro-life organizations claim to know God and they've been commandeered. That's way worse. Anyway, yeah, they say Americans doctors are captured by a radical fringe with no restrictions on any abortions at any point. And why is this happening? It's terrible. Well, it's happening because the pro-life side sacrificed the principle of the right to life for the much more profitable industry of regulating where and when the line be drawn for pro-life. So yeah, they want to draw in the line between pro-life and the radical fringe who want to kill babies at every point. We only want to kill certain babies. Well, we don't want to kill any, personally. But we're willing to allow for the killing of these and in order to allegedly save these and primarily win the support of predominantly secular organizations and lawyers who donate money and fund our retirements. That's the Trump standard. The Trump standard from America's most pro-life president ever has turned the pro-life industry into just this side of the radical fringe who want to kill all the babies up until birth. It's so sad. It's no wonder the world's going to come apart at the seams. It's no wonder. Because speaking of a pressure cooker, the killing of innocent children is a pressure cooker. It's an explosive device placed under our own house by our own hands. And it's been building in pressure for time immemorial, I'm sure, but especially in the Christian West since we allowed the state, which, by the way, the state is an ordained function by God. The state is sanctified by God. And since we've corrupted the state to the point where they've made the killing of innocent people legal, it's just a matter until that state implodes. Yeah, it's an explosive device, but the result is an implosion. And that's it for the Weekly Worldview this week, folks. Should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. May the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.